Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudge nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the
Thank you.
Love it. You guys dancing. Well, I won't lie and tell you that I was dancing. I was doing a lot of things behind the scenes here, but I was still feeling the beat inside of my soul. I was rocking inside. That was Gwiyi Marta. You can find them on Facebook, Gwiyi Marta. You can find them on Facebook. And the title of that song, that rhythm, is Fungo. We welcome you. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. It is so nice to see you. So nice to have you here sharing your energy with us. We are grateful. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on Life Conversations Radio. And, I feel like I want to play that song again. You know, there's some songs when I want to play it all over again. Well, you know, we won't be there because we've got a lot to cover. We welcome you. We welcome the ancestors. We welcome all the hidden stories of the past. You know, the stories that were hidden intentionally and the stories that we just forgot. You know, we didn't mean to hide it. We just forgot. So we welcome all of that. We welcome you. Thank you. And we welcome listeners to call in. Number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press one on your keypad. My guest is here. And I'm so grateful to do the show. So grateful. I mean, it's all about education, inspiration, expansion, and knowledge. And when we know who we are, it becomes easy for us to show up fully, to show up as who we are. There's no need to play small. There's no need to make apologies for who you are. You just show up as who you are. And say, why do you think you can just show up as who you are? You're like, why not? What else would I want to do? Dr. Lottie is in the house. We want to welcome you, all of you in the chat room. My co-producer is in the house behind the scenes. Betty Vigis, my dear friend. We haven't had a chance to talk today, but we're talking right now, psychically. So I hear you. Nice to have you back. Just so you're feeling well. So Betty's going to be taking care of the guests in the chat room. If you guys have some tea, some coffee, whatever you want there, just let her know. She will tell you where to go get it. She ain't serving you. She would support you in serving yourself because that's what she does. I want to welcome Sister Sirius in the chat room. Zuli, welcome. We have Glenda in the house. We've got Celeste in the house. Oh, my God. We got Mona Reeves in the house. Hey, Life Coach Ade's in the house. Stop it. Stop it. Focus. Okay, let's focus. Let's get it together here. Let's get it together because I got all this energy rushing through me. You guys know how I get. But it's all good. As a matter of fact. Nah, leave that alone. Let me do some announcement. Let me just get focused here for a bit. Life is good. It's getting better. Let's do some announcement. What do I need to tell you about? Well, there's quite a few things going on. Family constellations. If I look at the paper, it will make it easy. I won't have to think. So look at the paper while you talk. Okay, good. Family constellations facilitated by Lisa Iverson. Lisa Iverson is the co-host with me here on Life Conversations Radio. She hosts Ancestral Blueprints. And she's facilitating family constellations at the end of the month, which, let me go to my calendar. That's something that you guys know how it is. Yes, it's she'll be here in Atlanta the 23rd of September up till the 25th. So if you want to participate in family constellations, reconnect with your ancestors. Reconnect with that energy that's running through your body. Maybe some things are showing up in your family and you don't know why your brother is going through that, your sister's going through that. Some things just don't seem to make sense. No matter what you read, it's like something is missing. Well, Family Constellations is for you. If you want to find out more, you can go to familyconstellationswest.com. familyconstellationswest.com and click the Atlanta event tab. Also, speaking of great things that are happening that we're doing here, because here at Life Conversations Radio, Life Coach Ade, Lisa Iverson, Betty Pegues, Michelle Brown Stafford, all of us are supporting you to literally live your best life. And it's okay to read and take in the ideas and the concept, but we must embody the things that we call truth, the things that we see as our truth. And we got to apply ourselves. We've got to push the apply button. And I am supporting you in pushing the apply button with a teleconference starting tomorrow, living from the inside out. Living from the inside out. So it doesn't matter what's going on in the news. It doesn't matter what's going on with the economy. Your inner economy is all you need to focus on. So living from the inside out, a three-part coaching session starts tomorrow, the September 25th, September 28th, and October 5th. And all the information that you need is on lifecoachade.com, lifecoachade.com, and make sure you press, don't press one. Just click the group coaching. It's $99 for the 3-part coaching, so you can register on there. And I look forward to creating something wonderful with you starting tomorrow. I think we'll get to that in a minute. We get to that later. I'm eager to share some things with you here. I want to bring on my guest, Dr. Larty, and just check this chat room here, see that everything is fine. How are we doing, Betty? Everything is fine, sound is good. Everybody get their teas and coffee and herbal tea or whatever they want, just send them in the right direction. Well, let me pull up this bio. Oh, those of you in the chat room, those who have listened for the first time, if you're listening online, you can register with Blog Talk Radio so you can interact in the chat. But if you have any questions or comments, something you want to add, maybe something you've been pondering, wondering about, and you just want to share it with us, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Who said men can multitask? I keep telling you, ladies, men, we can multitask. Dr. Larty can multitask. I can multitask. And any man that you meet that says they can't multitask, they're just lying. They don't want you to know the real strength. So now let's pull this up while we do this and we do that and make sure we have everything we need. Let's see. Here we go today. I got so much in front of me here. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about my special guest, because he does a lot and he is very passionate. Well, Dr. Emmanuel Yetakwe Amugi Larty. Yes, I said I was going to pronounce all that. Now when it comes, I'm going to ask him if I pronounce it correctly. But Dr. Larty is a professor of pastoral theology, care and counseling at Candler School of Theology, Emory University, since 2005. He is a native of Ghana. Dr. Larty earned degrees in psychology, theology, counseling, and pastoral care, including the PhD in 1984 from the University of Birmingham, that's in the United Kingdom. From 1984 to 1989, he taught seminarians and university students at Trinity Theological Seminary and the University of Ghana. Dr. Larty is very busy. He's an ordained minister of the Methodist Church, Ghana, and has served as a circuit minister, pastor, school chaplain, and university chaplain in Ghana, United Kingdom, and USA. He was the founding pastor and served as senior pastor of the United Ghana Christian Church in Atlanta, 2003 to 2010. He's an author as well. So much. He's written books, and he's also the co-chair of API. We'll talk more about that when he comes on, but let me bring him on. There's so much that he does. This man is passionate. And, so much. Let's start here. Dr. Larty, how are you doing today?
Thank you, Ade. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good. It's so nice to have you here. And when I look at your bio and I look at your resume, and I'm like, how did you do all of that? But you definitely obviously have a passion for learning and teaching. And you're truly the perfect person to have this conversation today. We're talking about spirituality, healing, and transformation from an African perspective. We don't always hear about it. well, it's almost like it doesn't exist. And but we're going to talk more about that. The number is 347-426-3346. Dr. Lawson, I want to ask you one question. This question I got to ask you. It's the first question I got to ask you. My listeners know what the question is. And if I don't ask you this question, they'll be really mad at me. And I don't want my listeners to be mad at me. First question I want to ask you is, who is Dr. Lati? Who are you?
Child of the Divine One. It's how I guess I will like to... That's the most significant thing for me. It's a realization of the presence of the living God in every one of us. And that's where I get my identity from. If you want to ask me who am I, then my response basically will be that I recognize that I'm created in the image of God and that I reflect the divine presence in the world.
I hear that. Thank you. Well, let's jump in into this conversation about spirituality, healing, transformation. And I guess I want to, because I'm going to let this energy, this conversation carry me, because there's so many places I can go to with this.
Right.
And because for my experience, spirituality in Nigeria, growing up in Nigeria, didn't exist. I knew of the Christian religion because my mom was Christian. I knew of the Muslim religion. My father was Muslim. But spirituality, the Yoruba tradition, it didn't mean nothing to me. And actually, what I learned about my tradition, I was taught that is evil. So I didn't want to have the conversation about it. There were family members who quickly declared to me and say, oh, no, no, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in the Orishas. I don't, no, I don't do that. I'm a Methodist, I'm a member of the Methodist Church, and my grandmother was like that. And I want you to kind of bring some light, really, to that, because there's this energy, this way of being about African spirituality as being evil. I mean, clearly we know it's not. But from your experience, you've done a lot in Africa. You're African, and there's so much that you have to share. I want you to just share some light on that and how we started, how we can correct it, and what the truth is.
Well, Ade, you know, the marketplace of religious ideas is what has kind of resulted in our sense of denigration of African heritage and African spirituality. Because, you see, African peoples have always had a deep sense of connection. And religion and spirituality, really about connection. Connection with self, connection with the earth, connection with the seen and the unseen world, connection with those who have lived before us and who have charted paths that we can enter into. We call them our ancestors. It's being aware, being conscious that we are in relationship. That's what spirituality is about. And that's what Africans have always, you know, celebrated and always recognized. You know, so notions of something being evil or something being wrong came in when people seeking to propagate their particular understandings of religion had to kind of characterize all others in these negative terms so that theirs would be the ones that would, you know, attract the largest numbers of people. And so, you know, we Africans began to believe this. For many of us, it kind of resulted in the loss of the value of the connectivity, which is the essence of our being. You know, my paternal grandfather, my father's father, was a traditional spiritual. People would call him, I guess, in this day and age, a spiritual healer, a spiritual consultant, maybe also a medium and a diviner. Mm-hmm. And he worked in the court of King Taki, who was the King Taki the First, was one of the rulers of the Ga people of Accra in Ghana. And he kind of devoted his whole life to bringing life and spiritual vitality, healing to people, and teaching others to also do the same. Now, how on earth could you describe that, or how can you begin to think of that as evil? And yet that is how it's kind of characterized by some people, you know?
Right. It's interesting because you talk about connection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are parts of Africa that are going through and growing through challenge right now. And there are parts of Africa that are thriving. We don't always hear about that. But sometimes I wonder, maybe the fact that we've agreed with the African tradition being evil has caused Africans to be disconnected from themselves, that actually manifest itself through the challenges going on. This is a thought that comes up for me, because really when we are disconnected, we're disconnected from everything.
Right,
and it will show
right.
up, it will affect our creativity. And can you say something to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that very often we are troubled, and we don't understand why we are troubled. We are troubled because of a loss of connectivity. You know, the Akans of Ghana, for example, Ghana and La Côte d'Ivoire, believe that we receive from the creator something they call okra. The girls call it kla. It is a constituent part of our being which we receive directly from the creator.
Mm-hmm.
It is a relational thing as well. It is a part of us that relates us constantly with our creator. Now, if that connectivity is in some way affected, lost, defaced, kind of, if we stop recognizing it as a vital part of our life, what happens is we become disturbed, we become troubled, and we begin to act out in all kinds of ways. And that's, I think, what is happening to a lot of us, because we have lost that connectivity, or we are not aware. But we can regain it. It's not hard. We can regain it if we will simply begin to turn our attention back to
right.
our origins and
right,
our heritage.
Right. That's a good point when you talk about we can regain it when we turn our attention back to our origin, because that's what I had to do. I remember when I was in England, it wasn't so much of a big deal. I wasn't consciously aware of my spiritual self, but when I moved over here, there was something. I wanted something more. I wanted something deeper. Now, I had the story, I was miseducated about my own tradition, but when I came here, I remember going to the spiritual center, Hillside Chapel and Truth Center, and the first day, I think the first time I went there, or the second time, Iyanla Van Zandt was there. Now, she
right.
said something. I didn't quite... because I wasn't expecting it, so I didn't know what she was saying. But later, I realized she was saying "adupe, adupe," which means "we give thanks."
Mm-hmm.
And then she was talking about she's a Yoruba priestess, and I'm like,
right.
"Wait a minute, Yoruba priestess? What are you talking about? wait!" But then I realized that every time she came to Hillside, I was always there, and she was inspiring me. Then I met people who told me they're studying the Yoruba tradition. I met this white woman one time at a popular bookstore here in Atlanta, and she said, "Oh, my husband is starting to be a Babalawo." I'm like, "Wait a minute, wait, I don't want to have this conversation." But I started to ask myself, what is really going on here? Because when people
right.
found out I was Yoruba from Nigeria, they would say, "Well, tell me about your tradition." I'm like, "No, we don't talk about my tradition." But I had to really say to myself, there's got to be something to this. if Iyanla Van Zandt can inspire me, and the things are coming out of her mouth, and she's calling herself a yoga priestess, it's got to be something to my tradition
right.
here.
Right.
And other people are learning it. So I have to teach myself and realize, oh, I see what it means. We were miseducated. And
right.
now it's my responsibility to educate myself. And I think
that's what
we all got to do individually. Go ahead.
Right.
Say something.
And that's happening, you know, that's happening across the board in the African diaspora. You know, it's almost like folk in different parts of the world, folk in the Caribbean, folk in South America, folk here, you know, through traditions like Santeria, Candomblé.
Mm-hmm.
These are African religious traditions, which have kind of been the source of sustenance and strength for these people, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost like those of us who I call us more recently continental born, you know, we're born
right.
on the continent more recently. We seem to have often forgotten this heritage that has actually been the sustaining power and strength of some of the people who have maintained this outside in other parts of the world. And we, the continental, hankering after some of the things that even Western European folk are kicking out now in terms of their religious heritage. We are hankering
mm-hmm.
after those and have lost our heritage. And so it takes
mm-hmm.
sometimes, it takes those in the diaspora who have discovered the value and the power of these traditions that we have discarded. It sometimes it takes them to help us
yeah.
regain our sense of the importance of that connectivity.
Right. So true. So true. I so agree with you on that. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a call as well. And when we come back, as we keep moving on to shifting gears and going up and speeding up, I want to talk about the idea, you know, because I was actually, this is what triggered this question for me, or this thought really, rather than a question. I was reading something on Facebook yesterday, and I don't even know if I can pull it up, but I probably can. But the comment that was posted on Facebook by a friend of mine was talking about right where you are is the answer to everything that you need. And it talked about, let's see if I can scroll down here. I think this is it. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Ah, love it. So anyway, here we are. So the quote said, "The opportunity lies where your 2 feet are. The answer is always no unless you ask. Overprocessing and analyzing life robs you of spontaneity and aliveness. Step into the unknown and risk for freedom. Exercise your power and abilities now." Now, there were people who they commented, "Oh, I needed to hear that. Thank you very much." But there were also other people that live in Africa, that read them saying, "What do you mean power? We don't have power. There are other people taking their power. We don't have the money. This doesn't apply to us. This is just words you're speaking." When we come back, I want us to talk about how we can, and it's kind of a continuation of what we're talking about here, but what people who are in Africa, how they can realize that connection so that they can begin to make the change. Or is it possible? Is it really possible to make that connection? They just have to look to us. When we come back, I want us to address that. And listeners, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're taking your calls. We're going to take a break and clicking this browser here. And what else do I need to say? Yes, so my guest is Dr. Emmanuel Arti. If you want to find out more about him, you can go to African Pilgrimages, Inc., which is, I'll spell that out for you, African Pilgrimages. African Pilgrimages, Inc. That's his website, part of what he's doing as well, to educate people and reconnect people in the diaspora with the history of Africa. So the website address is African, you can spell that, Pilgrimage, with an S, ING.com. African Pilgrimage, with an S,
ingactsaythatrealslow.com. You can find out more about him there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. I guess it's possible to say sometimes too much of a good thing can be confusing. Like right now. Okay, here we go.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom. You ready? Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
That's right. We do the best hosting in the planet. So all those other radio stations, don't even bookmark them. Don't even put them. Just don't waste time. Because if you miss the live show, you can always catch the archive show. This is the only radio station you need to listen to. Yes, I said it. I feel proud about what we do over here. And if you don't believe me, listen to the shows, and you will be transformed. We also invite you to... We also invite you to share the show with your friends, share it on the social network, tweet it, post it, announce it, yell it, whatever you need to do. And also make sure you follow Life Conversations Radio on Blog Talk Radio, because it's all about partnership. There's a follow button right at the top. Just click that. The guest in the chat room, register with Blog Talk Radio if you want to interact in the chat room, or you can just call 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Yeah, press one on your keypad. Doing too much, man. You're doing too much. I can laugh at my own self. I love it. My guest is Dr. Emmanuel Larty, and we are talking about spirituality, transformation, healing from an African perspective. We're going to take a call, but before we do that, I want Dr. Larty to speak to what I was sharing earlier. There are people in Africa who, I mean, and I will go here, Dr. Larty, you know, there's this thing about when we talk about being one with God, I know people think, what are you talking about? Jesus Christ is the only way. But they still don't catch or grasp the power within them. And for me, I wrestle with how do I communicate to my brothers, my sisters, my cousins in Nigeria, and this conversation about recognizing the power within you, the power of the divine, and how you can make changes when everything, like the government over there, seems to have the power? How do we go about getting them to see differently?
Well, I think the first thing is for us all, our brothers and sisters and cousins and so on, to realize that we already have what we need. Wow. That's the first thing. Realize that you already have what you need. What you need is not overseas. What you need is not over there. What you need is not outside somewhere with somebody. The power is not ultimately with people out there or anybody other than yourself. So the first thing is how to, and this is, you know, my kind of path is the educational path. So it is about education, but it's a kind of re-education, an education in which we begin again to realize what we already have. And to begin to own it, and also to actually begin to cherish it and celebrate it. So the first thing is realizing that we already have what we need, and then secondly, beginning to, what I would say, drink from our own wells. You know, we have the stuff is right there. What we need is right there. We have been taught to hanker over something over there for economic reasons, you know, so that we will constantly have a taste. You know, we have been created as a market. You know, that's what has happened to us. And we need to be recreated as our own producers and as our own selves, you know, rather than a market for other people's goods and properties. This is continuing. This mad rush to create markets continues. And we will continue to be recipients of other people's products and goods until we realize that we already have what we need. And we begin to drink.
Yes.
Well, so a lot of it is getting people to realize. Realize what is going on and realize that it's not so much that we are being exploited, but we have actually become market for other people's goods and products instead of being the people who produce the stuff that others can actually benefit from.
And that's the beauty of it. I mean, because truth is truth is truth. I mean, as you talk, it's like that's such a universal insight. Because even here in America, in England or wherever, it's like when we realize we have what we need, but we have to be willing to see differently to go within. Unless we're willing to do that, we're going to keep blaming, criticizing, judging, and feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's take a call after the call. I want to talk about the idea of God, how Africans see God when we come after the call. Let's take a call. Bahia, how are you doing, my sister?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate knowing about your program today, and it seems like I have joined just in time. Dr. Emmanuel, I was just listening to the points that you are making. One of them is that you have what you need.
Right.
I work in a bookstore, and I was sent there, I think, by spirit about 6 years ago. I've always been in love with the divine, and I've always sought God. So immediately my mind and my intent got drawn toward books that would help me to actually, what you call, reconnect with God.
Right.
Well, make that discovery again about myself and who I am. So the point that was made earlier about the light being wherever you are, I've actually lived that. What I've discovered in my search is that it's not about reconnecting. It's about realizing that you've always been connected and getting everything that has clouded that out of the way so that you can reassume who you really are in this dimension, which is the manifestation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been lucky enough to come across really great books that help in that process. One of them is Chakra Clearing by Doreen Virtue. The other one that has given me tremendous insights as to how the marketplace has kind of set me up as something that can be exploited is a book that was written by Napoleon Hill in 1938. He put it in a vault and told them not to publish it until after he was dead, and it's called Outwitting the Devil. In that, one of the first statements, he asks this entity, well, who are you? And he tells them, I'm the negative pole in the atom. Well, when you work in a bookstore, you also understand that that fits into what is known as yin-yang and how you need the, both the positive and the negative in order to manifest in this dimension. And then it fits into what self-mastery really is, since the negative is not going to go away. And it also fits into an understanding of the relationship that God has with that pole that is necessary in order for us to manifest in this dimension. But I've been fortunate because I've been able to read across a really broad span of books. I've traveled West Africa. I have an African child who comes out of tremendous ancestry from the Benin region in Nigeria. And I've kind of looked at some of the artifacts and some of the religious and spiritual approaches to God from that region of the world, and it's all beginning to make sense that God, we can never really be disconnected from God. We can get deluded into thinking that we are, but right. God always resides within us, and our job to find out how to become clear on that so that we begin to manifest who we really are in the world again. We never really lose ourselves.
That's right.
So, true.
So I just wanted to share that with you. I'm just so excited about everything else that I'm hearing you discuss today. And I just wanted to add that, my own personal experience.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's a lot you want to speak to that? Anything you want to share?
Well, that's, you know, that's what she's saying is really right in sync and right in line with what, you know, what I was saying about the importance of realizing, you know, recognizing, realizing that we are connected. You know, and realizing that we've got what it takes, we've got what we need already that connection. You know, and just realizing that we have been deluded.
That's right.
You know, we made and we began to think that we are not connected, or we began to think that we don't have it. We began to think that it's out there somewhere, you know, rather than in here right now and right here.
Right. And the whole idea of serving money, we say, oh, no, money is not everything. But, you know, a whole world ends up serving money. We measure our own value based on the money we have in our account or whatever, or how much money we have access to. But we miss the real value. Let's take another call. Hey, Glenda, how are you doing?
Hi, Audrey. How are you?
Very well. What's your question or comment?
And greetings to your guests. Well, as I was listening, what was coming through me is to speak about when you talk about people from the diaspora, how sometimes, even if you're not aware of your traditional African spirituality, it will have a way of expressing itself through you. So I started to think about my parents are from Barbados, so I came from Africa by way of Barbados, and then I was born in America. And I remember, I'm remembering times when I was a little girl where I just seemed to have a fascination with nature. I remember being four and constantly walking around looking up in the sky, so much so that my mother would say, well, you know, like you're going to fall. You keep looking in the sky. Why are you not looking on the ground? I remember telling people that I could see the stars and heaven at the top of the closet, and trying to convince them that, yes, it's there, that's where heaven was, that I could see the scope of the, you know, I was about four or five. And I remember then again distinctly at 11, just seeming to want to listen to the wind. Now, this is inner city Brooklyn, New York. Listen to the wind and look at the trees in the backyard. Because, you know, by that time now, I was wise enough, in quotes, to not express what I was feeling. But I remember staring at the trees and listening to the wind in the backyard because I felt like they were telling me things. So as time went on, as I grew up, as time went on, I was born in the Pentecostal religion. My parents are Christian. So, of course, these things coming out didn't really have a place in terms of what they could understand. But as I got older and as I grew and I could make my own decisions, I began to understand that what was whispering to me was actually something that was me, that was maybe that I was chosen to be the one to listen, or I was open. So I wanted to speak to that, because sometimes it has a way of showing up, no matter no matter how westernized you've been or how far away from the, because I haven't been to the continent yet, but it
right.
just had a way of showing up.
Yes, 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 yes. Whew, Dr. Lassie, thank you, Glenda. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Dr. Lassie, you want to say anything to that? Because she was actually talking about nature, which we will go into before we take the next call. But go, if you want to say, add anything to that?
Just to say, you know, you were asking about how do we understand God, how do we recognize God. Well, there are kinds
right.
of things.
I want to, also what I want to do is, because as I listened to Glenda, she talked about nature, and I know it's because one of the things I want to say, spirituality and nature, I think of your mentor, Brother Ishmael Tete, always talk about his greatest teacher is nature. Can speak to how Africans view God and the connection with nature.
Well, you see, I was going to say, the Akans have a saying, for example, if you want to say something to God, they say, tell it to the wind. Now, this is very much like what Glenda was just saying. You know, look, if you want to realize where God is or who God is, look at nature. You know, your primary means by which you will recognize the divine is through the creation. We say God is the creator. Yeah, so there's something about the creator in the creation, you know. So we get to see a lot about God through recognizing the what God has created, what nature is. We ourselves are a part of nature. Humanity is a part of nature. So as we begin to understand the trees, the rivers, the mountains, the wind, as we begin to understand the realities of our own systems in our own bodies, whether they are physiological or mental or all the other or neural systems in our bodies, we begin to understand a little bit about the nature of the divine, the nature of God. And that is why you find that throughout the African cultural and religious traditions, there's this very important sense in which God is spoken of in terms of nature. God is spoken of in terms of creation, you know. So that's our primary source. And that's why we need to be celebrating our connectedness with nature. There's another interesting thing. Again, you will find about God, you will immediately find Africans speaking about Mother Earth. You know, now Mother Earth is divine. Mother Earth is a part of God, if you like. So the earth and all that the earth stands for and does is for us is very much what God stands for and does.
Yeah. It's funny because times when I sit down and just reflect of my time when I was in Nigeria, I start to think most of the way we communicate, the things we say when we acknowledge each other, when we say hello, is always wrapped into what God is doing. Or we're looking to God. God is working it out. And I realize that even just our language is so wrapped up in the God consciousness. That,
right.
And I can almost see why we take the fact that we're connected to God for granted, because we grow up just knowing, you know, if you say, hey, how are you doing? So we're looking to God. You know, it's such a way of just communicating rather than I'm fine. We say, oh, we're looking to God. Or what are you doing? Oh, I'm doing God's will. And it's not just people who are Christian or Muslim or whatever they're saying. It was just the way we communicated. It's an interesting thing. Well, we still do. And, you know, when we talk about nature, I just remembered when I was younger, my grandmother, you know, there were times when
we had flu, fever, or whatever. And, you know, they would get barks and leaves and roots of trees, different kind of trees, and they'll mix it together, boil it, and I tell you, that sometimes it smells good, but that thing tasted horrible. It was bitter. But the thing is, once you drink it, the next day, you are fine. I mean, it was such a natural thing to go get herbs and whatever from the village, or even sometimes we go to the market and buy specific things, but you boil it, you drink it. It does not need to be FDA approved. We don't care if it hasn't been FDA approved, and it does the work. So everything, when I look back at my own culture, because I can't speak for all the countries, and I mean, we're talking over 40 countries in Africa, even though there's some people who want us to believe that Africa is a country. But anyway, I digress. Let's stay focused. I can speak from my experience in Nigeria that, you know, the way of life honored the creator, that there was so much more, that there's so much more. And for me, I say it was taken for granted. But as I grew up, became an adult, I started to see things that I wasn't aware of when I was younger. Did you find the same thing?
Absolutely. And, you know, the basis of all medications, you know, even in the West, the basis of all medications is nature. It's, you know, we get these chemicals and all of these things out of the natural, you see. And the interesting thing about our ancestors, especially those who were gifted in the healing arts and those who became herbalists and so on, is the basis of their knowledge was often observation. They would observe what the creatures of the earth, the animals of the earth would do when they experienced discomfort or illness of any sort. You know, and they would observe that they would go to particular plants, chew them, lick them, and they would, you know, derive their healing and their wellness. From
right,
that.
Right.
So if it works for these creatures, then that's a good place to begin when you're looking for treatment for something that you are, as a human person, are experiencing. And so that's how they did. And then from that, you know, you began to get further refinements and so on, and until you actually begin to look at the active ingredients of these kinds of herbal and other treatments. And it is that which then is extracted and put into a bottle, put into a pill, and then resold to us.
Yes. So we can't tell you we got it from nature.
Right. Then you have
to tell you that.
Right there. You know, recently we visited Ghana, and almost every year African pilgrimages takes groups of people who want to be reconnected with their African heritage to sacred sites in different African countries. And this last year we were in Ghana. We were in a sacred forest, and the person who was who actually owns this place and was taking us around is Professor Kofi Asare Opoku, who's a world-renowned African sociologist and scholar of African religion. And he owns this sacred forest. And it's full of trees and shrubs and different medicinal plants. In fact, it's right near to a hospital where they actually do use traditional healing medications, you know, in their treatment procedures, you know. And he was just pointing out, you know, this tree has these kinds of properties and it helps in with these kinds of treatments. Our ancestors knew these things. And very often lived much more healthy lives and much longer lives than we in this so-called modern or even postmodern era live.
You know, I'm having a realization, as Bahia said earlier. I'm getting this on a soul level, on a heart level right now, that, once again, I speak from a Nigerian perspective, growing up in Lagos, that, because I've always believed spirituality is not something you do. Spirituality is a way of life.
And it can show up in different kind of religions. But that's who we are. We're spiritual beings. And I'm really getting right now that the African culture, it's really it's honoring the spiritual aspect of life in conversation, in how we heal, in what we do, and just honoring God in all things.
That's right.
And that's something that I've never quite really grasped until now. I'm thinking, I actually grew up in a country where God was honored in all things, but it was just, it was so common that I didn't think it was a big deal.
You see, the basic kind of fundamental understanding or principle of African spiritualities all across the continent, and also in the diaspora, I may say, is that all of life is sacred. All of life. Everything about life is sacred, all right? And related to that, nature is divine, you see? So we already live this kind of life. We already recognize that in everything, whether you are eating, drinking, doing various activities of life, you are participating in a sacred reality. That's what we call spirituality, you know? So, hey, just realize that. That's what African religion or African spirituality is saying. Just realize that all of your life is sacred. You are a spiritual being. You're having a human experience. But you're a spiritual being. That's what you are. That's who you are. And all of life is sacred. All of nature is divine.
Mm. Ooh, I'm having a moment. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'm here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. If you have any questions or comments, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Celeste, we're coming to you. But Dr. Lottie, I want to ask you this. You're an ordained Methodist church minister. And just going by the example, I have to use what I know. The example in Nigeria, I mean, I'm told that in some buildings you can have three different denominations in one building. And sometimes they don't even agree with one another. What happened for you that you were able to, I guess, evolve and not just limit? Because especially in the Western world, we know that those of us that say, well, there's religion over here and there's spirituality over there. They're separate. What happened for you? How were you able to make that transition as a ordained minister, Methodist Church ordained minister, to actually recognizing that all of life is sacred? Every human being is sacred, and nature is sacred. What happened to you?
Well, I think there are about two or three things that have been my life experience that have contributed to this. The first is that I grew up in a home church that we may describe or has been described as ecumenical. It actually was made up of Presbyterian, Methodist, and Anglican traditions, just as a part of a united church, okay? So we had chaplains or pastors from the Presbyterian church, from the Methodist church, and from the Anglican church, who served this congregation. So we grew up, and, you know, the first question was not, are you Presbyterian or are you Anglican or so? We just went to church. And we kind of got to know the different emphases and the different traditions as we went along. They became less important than the essence of what it was to recognize our spiritual existence. So I think that is one of the attitudes that I grew up with and in, which downplayed the kind of emphasis on doctrinal differences and upplayed the realization of our sense of community and values concerning life, that these are the more important things that it's about. Now, realizing that there are many different varieties of the Christian tradition, now this is the second kind of thing. Realizing that there are so many different traditions within, say, just Christianity, I very quickly, and this experience parallels your experience, I came into realization that other members of my extended family participated in other religious traditions. We had Muslims, and in fact, in our family, and in we had people who believed in other traditions. In fact, my father-in-law was a person who was deeply influenced and very significantly a practitioner of Eastern religious traditions. So very much into meditation and into the various kinds of things that are associated with Buddhism and Hinduism and these other traditions. You know. So again, I realized, hey, look, this thing is wider than a narrow denominationalism. There's something much beyond that, you know. And then the third stream, that kind of, I would say, was the consciousness that kind of allowed the scales to fall from my eyes, was a realization of, I was speaking about my paternal grandfather a few moments ago, that the value of the kind of thing that he was doing. And as I said, he was a diviner, African herbalist, and so on, and was like the minister of health, if you like, or the secretary for health,
yes,
in the cabinet of King Taki, Kome King Taki the First, of the Ga people of Accra, you know, now. I very quickly began to realize that, hey, you know, all of these are but streams. All of these are but different waves, if you like, on an ocean, you know. And yet, they kind of quarrel with each other. There's an Adinkra symbol, you know, the Adinkra symbols. These are the symbols,
yes,
that pre Christian Akan traditional symbols associated with life, death, and transitions. There's an Adinkra symbol that has two crocodiles that are that share a common stomach, and the symbol demonstrates how, and the saying that goes with it demonstrates how you have two crocodiles with a common stomach, and yet they fight over food.
That's the world we live in, isn't it? Right now.
It is. We share a common stomach, and yet we are biting each other over food. You know, so here's one tradition, call it a particular type of Christian biting another Christian. Here's a tradition wanting to tear the head off a Muslim. Here's a Muslim wanting to destroy somebody else. You know, why do we do this? We share a common stomach. We, all of us, are created in the image of God. All of us reflect nature. We all breathe the same air and drink the same water. We're all sustained by the same things that sustain all of life. So these are the kinds of realizations that brought me to the place. And then, you know, and then the final thing that I'll say is the realization which I've been speaking about, that I have all that I need already given me in myself by the Divine One, you know. I don't need anything else. I don't need anybody else. And it's all within my heritage, all within my tradition. So I begin to revalue that which I already have as an African. And when I begin to revalue that, my word, the peace and the assurance of self and identity is what health is all about.
I'm just really, you know, I listen to your story and it brings up so much for me. And if I were to summarize what I'm feeling right now is what we call spiritual practice in the Western world is actually a spiritual way of life in Africa. Because my experience, I mean, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking of, just listening to the conversation we're having about meditation, about nature, as a teacher, we're all sacred. I'm really getting in touch that
That was just a way of life in Nigeria. It was a way of life. So the idea of spiritual practice, probably just like spiritual practice, that's what we do, you know. And I'm really seeing, I've never quite seen it that way. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take a call. I want to talk about rituals and the importance of rituals. And,
right.
you know, and especially here in the Western world, those of us who are away from home and those who, you know, regardless if you call Africa your home or not, but that sense of feeling grounded and connected to that sacredness that you talk about. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come to you, Celeste. You're listening to Ask Life Coach at AonLifeConversationsRadio.com. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And, just quick reminder here, Wednesday, tomorrow, I'm starting a group coaching session called Living from the Inside Out. Go to lifecoachade.com, lifecoachade.com to find out more. Click the group coaching tab and register to reserve your space. We will be right back to continue the conversation about spirituality from an African perspective. But really, if you're listening, if you're really feeling what we're having, it's the same. Spirituality is a way of life. It's nothing different. So when people don't go off on a tangent, just stay on time, stay in alignment. Well, but say what you need to say, Life Coach Ade. You can. It's your show. You know, when people try and feed you stuff that ain't right, just say, no, I pass on that. I think I know the truth. I am one with the one. And when you remember that you're one with the one, then there's no tripping. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Yes, indeed. That's our commitment to you, to assist you to move from where you are to where you want to be spiritually, emotionally. Just all the stuff, all the leads that are happening in your world, all the challenges, to just help you realize that right where you are, God is, that there is no spot where God is not. And when we remember that, we will really appreciate and recognize our oneness with all. We are one. We are crocodiles sharing the same stomach. No need to fight. Regardless of what you believe, all is truly well. Let's take a call, and then, let's take a call first. Let's do that all at once. Celeste. How are you doing?
On fire. I had to come out to the trees. Hello, Ademola. Hello, Dr. Lati. I am thoroughly enjoying you. And
right.
I had a flash. I see things when people speak. And when you spoke about we are our own well, I've been hearing water all morning.
Right.
All morning I've been hearing water. It's raining in D.C. right now. But you don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to give you your gift. And what it is I saw the woman at the well. And I saw her, literally saw her walking up in anticipation that she would be alone. Because that story in the text tells us that she came at the sixth hour, at high noon. You do not get your water in the heat of the sun. She was avoiding community. And one of the pieces that pulled her in for me when you were speaking was when you were talking about the loss of connection and community. She was ostracized and alone, but she wasn't. There was somebody waiting for her with some healing waters. And the beauty of that story is the very woman who did not want to see anybody is so filled with this water that she runs out into the community and grabs the very people she's hiding from, and brings them to Jesus. He told me everything I needed to know about myself. And then she found herself, and a community was restored. Now, somebody taught me to look at that story through African eyes.
Right.
And I'm wondering, with that energy and with that picture that I got, if you could mix in with your ritual, how we can apply that right now. How can we be the person at the well, connecting
right.
as healers and restoring through love? Because that's what I feel you guys are doing. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you. Appreciate
you. You're so welcome. And, you know, from being kind of in a state of disconnection and being, you know, sort of wanting to hide away from community, it's in a sense it's like the water of life, which literally what Jesus did in that encounter was simply to give her back her personhood. Give her back a realization that, hey, you know, never mind what you've been through and what you're going through. Hey, you know, you have within you the water of life, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how did he do it? He did it by asking her, you give me some water to drink. See, this woman thought she had nothing to give. She was avoiding everybody. Jesus says, you give me water to drink. You know, you have what you need. Give it to me. And at the end of the day, it's when we realize that we already have the water of life within us. We can give to others. Out of all our experiences, we can give to others. We already have water of life within us.
Yes, indeed. The water of life is what we are. You just need to tap into your own well. I want to play something from Sibomfu Somei, who, Malidoma Somei's ex-wife. And, you know, she's somebody else who is bringing enlightenment to that whole thing about, well, not so much African, well, it's funny now, I can't even say African spirituality anymore, it just seems redundant, you know, it's the African way of life. So she, and that's what she does, she shares the African way of life to teach what we call a spiritual practice in the Western world. So I want to play a clip here, and then I want you to speak to that, Dr. Lottie.
Okay.
We all need ritual in our lives. We need to welcome ourselves, to wake up to rituals. Rituals are important in giving us a sense of being, a sense of presence, in being able to connect with one another, with the earth, with all the different elements in our lives. Rituals are to the soul what physical food is to our body. In our country, when we wake up every morning, it is important to welcome ourselves from all the journeys that we have taken while we were asleep. So we wake up, we hold ourselves, and we welcome ourselves back from wherever we have been.
Mm-hmm. I love when she said, ritual to the soul, what food is to the body. Woo! That just, okay, that's a lot. Speak to
and I really love and have benefited so much from the writings of both Malidoma and Sibomfu Somei, in terms of Malidoma has a book called Ritual, Power, Healing, and Community. And, you know, there's so much in that. It speaks about the need to recognize the fact of the power and the healing that is kind of a part of ritual, you know. Now, what I find interesting is that in all ritual, there is rhythm, movement. You know, we kind of engage in the rhythms of life. Yeah, you go to sleep, you wake up, you go through certain very common rituals. You drum like you do, Ade. You drum. What are you doing? You are entering into the vibratory essence of life.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
So you begin to move at the frequency. When you begin to move at the frequency of life, of the earth, and so on, what happens? You have resonance. And what does that mean? It means that there is a huge explosion of energy that is kind of called forth by the fact that you are moving at the natural pace or the natural frequency of the earth. That's what ritual to me is about. It is about getting into the natural frequency of life, of the earth, through movement, through rhythm, through vibration, through performance of some activity, which is aimed at causing resonance, causing a huge explosion, because we are vibrating at the natural frequency of the earth. So whether the ritual is what we do at the birth of a child, what we call outdooring, or what we do through initiation or the coming of age, or whether it is through the celebration of the coming together or the connection of partners to one another, or it is at the transitional point when we leave this world and enter the next. All of these activities are intended to cause our communities to vibrate, to pulsate at the natural frequencies of life, so that there will be a mighty communal explosion of spiritual energy, and the beneficiaries are the communities that we participate in. And this is why for us Africans, you know, rituals are so important, because they are about resonance. They are about vibrating at the natural frequency of life.
And when you break it down like that, it makes sense. Because what Sabonfu said, ritual is to the soul what food is to the physical body. Absolutely. And when we remember that, you know, sometimes we don't always talk about the soul, but we neglect. And that's who we really are. The soul is who we really are. It goes beyond the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
One quick clip I want to share with you again from Sabonfu, intimacy and surrender. And I want you to speak to that. And then, as we get ready to release the show, talk about the African pilgrimages. I got to say that real slow for some reason. And what you do. And just play that right now. And quickly, if you need to call, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346.
Intimacy is one of the most important things in our life. In my country, when two people meet, there is a new spirit that is born out of that relationship, which is called the spirit of intimacy, because healthy relationships are at the heart of human being life. When we meet someone, it's important to let our guard down, to surrender to what is being born, so that we can begin to experience that spirit of intimacy that is being born between us. When we meet and open our heart, we are able to then welcome someone into our heart while welcoming ourselves.
Hmm. Well,
we recognize that we're two crocodiles joined together at the stomach, and we allow the intimacy to happen, then we can welcome one another. Go ahead, Dr. Lati.
Absolutely. And, you know, she has that wonderful book on intimacy, so Bumfu has, you know. And, you know, an interesting thing in what she just said, it's like surrender to what is being born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of this kind of constant resistance, it's like allowing the thing to be born, allowing the beauty of this connection to be birthed and to come to fullness of life, you know. And we engage these kinds of relationships again and again, you know. And the power of it is to surrender to what is being born and to allow it to kind of grow and develop. Now,
funny, go ahead.
You were asking me to say something a little bit about API. It's interesting because I think API is very much about this kind of thing about you know, connection. You know, African Pilgrimages Incorporated was started a few years ago, 2008. We began organizing trips pilgrimages because they are sacred journeys to sacred sites. But as we've seen, all of life is sacred and all the sites are sacred. But we pick out particular places. And what we try to do is we try to link those in the diaspora, particularly those whose connections with the African continent have been more historic in terms of years than some of us who were born there in our lifetime. We try to link them with particular places and particular sacred sites in those places. So we organize these trips, and they are often spiritual, educational, cultural, and therapeutic because people learn about their origins. People learn about the culture, the spiritual sense, and so on, of their origins, you know. And so they become tremendous, transformative occasions. And the last two trips that we've had, almost everybody who's been on the trip has come back saying, wow, this has been just so transformative for me. I'm getting a deeper understanding of myself. I'm getting a deeper connection with my own origins and my own heritage. You know, so that's what it's about. Now, API, like you said, if you want to know a little bit more, go to African Pilgrimages Inc. .com, we have an event that is coming up in October. It's on Saturday, October the 22nd. It's a graduation for recent pilgrims. It's a banquet, and it's a artistic performance evening. It will be Saturday, the 22nd of October. It will be in the Ellis Room at the Richard Center of Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. You can get all that information on Facebook, our Facebook page, African Pilgrimages, Inc., or through our website, AfricanPilgrimagesInc.com. And I really want to invite everyone who is interested to come along, because on that occasion you will hear, see, learn about the experiences of people who are traveling, and you might even decide yourself that, hey, this, the time has come. I need to make this journey. I need to go and touch the motherland and be connected again and have an opportunity to surrender to that which is being born. I love the expression.
Ooh, I have so much going on with me here, but I'm just looking at your site. You see, I see that you have some guy there. See, he has the same name as me. He's going to be one of your artists. Oh, I can't wait to meet him. Actually,
that's
I have
right.
Some of you, John Street.
That's the beautiful thing, because you, Coach Andy, you're going to be one of the featured artists.
This guy's going to be drumming? Oh, great. I can't wait to see him. John String is going to be there as well. Those of you in Atlanta, or you can just take a special trip. But you know, Dr. Lati, all the information is on your website, as you said, but I really want to share this with you before you go. I've done thousands of shows. And, well, this let me just stay in the moment. What's rebirth right now? I don't know. I think what makes this show so unique for me today is I can say that I received a healing. Wow. Though I'm supposed to be hosting, I'm listening as a listener. And what you're bringing, what you brought, helped me see that my culture, my origin, was actually, it was an expression of the sacredness of life. For me, this whole thing about spiritual practice is something that you do. It's something that you do so you can stay connected. But I really get that growing up in Nigeria, being around people and the way of life was really spirituality in action. And I've never seen it that way. I've been away from Nigeria a long time, and I even wrestled with myself. You know, I know family members who are Christians. They, nothing else matters. Now, they respect me. I respect them. I have my dear sisters, my brother sisters who, you know, they're Christians. And we know where we're coming from. We can have a conversation. You know, I say what I believe and we're cool. But I used to think, when I go back to Nigeria, my God, how would I be able to express what I believe, that we're all one? And I'm just realizing that there's nothing to explain. That
right.
The culture, the African culture, is spirituality in action. It's what we live. It's a way of life. And I'm going to sit with that some more for the rest of the day. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being the catalyst for that and the healer that you are on so many levels, and just being able to stand in the light and stand in the darkness of ignorance as well as the darkness of what's seeking to be birthed, and not being afraid to be the light. Thank
That's
you.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Lati, I look forward to seeing you this Sunday for our group Conscious Spirituality Movement, which is something we can't even get to right now, but you just have to come back. We just have so much more to just remind ourselves. Anything else you want to share before you go? Anything you want to leave with us?
Just to emphasize that you have got what it takes. You have within you all that you need. The Divine One is present within you. So, celebrate life. Celebrate
life. Yes, indeed.
Life.
Thank celebrate. You, Dr. Lati. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Woo-wee. Wow. Oof. Good Lord. There's nothing like having a healing while you're hosting your own show. I mean, I'm just really recognizing something that I didn't know. That my culture that I thought, I don't know what I thought, but I just didn't even see what I'm seeing now, that I actually grew up in a community, in a country where spirituality was truly a way of life. I've always thought that once I became aware of what is true, once I had the realization. But I'm now looking at my place of origin, though I was born in England. I'm still a Nigerian. I tell people I'm a Nigerian, but I was born in England. And, like, how do you do that? Well, if you plant an orange seed in another country, in Japan, does it stop being an orange? It doesn't matter where you plant the seed. It's still going to be an orange, an apple, whatever it is. The origin is real. So, yes, I was born in England, but I'm a Nigerian that was born in England. But I'm having it's beyond appreciation. Something is happening. I don't know what it is. But, you know, We are one. And I thank you all for joining us in the chat room, those of you listening on the archive, those of you listening on the phone line, those of you that called in, thank you for supporting Life Conversations Radio, for your energy, for what you bring, and also being a catalyst for change, because we need each other. We become the change we want to see, but we do this together. We do it together. Tomorrow I have a special guest. I'm going to, my life coach is going to be joining me for a wonderful conversation tomorrow about purpose and how we, in the Western world, and we're coming back to the Western world here, we tend to play not to lose. We're going to talk more about how we play not to lose, which is a waste of energy. But you'll find out more about that tomorrow. Kelly Jones Wallace is going to be joining me tomorrow for a wonderful conversation. I've interviewed her before, but she'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can download the shows. You can like the show. You can share it on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all the other social networks. But thank you. And as we get ready to release the show, I want to just, I think I want to leave you with this perfect, perfect piece called Unity by Deborah Johnson. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And Dr. Lati said it. Celebrate life. Celebrate life. You are life. When you celebrate life, you celebrate yourself. Thank you. Peace in and peace out.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Okay, here's Unity. This is from Valerie Joy's CD. If you want to find out more about Valerie Joy, you can go to her website. It's valeriejoi.com. And this is track, I think it's number 10, but it's called Unity. Just listen to the words. It's powerful. And just a quick reminder, Dr. Lati's website is AfricanPilgrimagesInc.com. For some reason, I just got to say that slow. Here we go. We're out of here. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Betty, for all that you're doing behind the scene and Facebook and screening. Thank you. I appreciate you, my dear friend. Life is good. It's getting better. Celebrate life. And this is Valerie Joy, Deborah Johnson, Unity. See you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. There we are. Okay, I'm out.
If I am you and you are me, then let's explore the unity, the harmony never conceived before. So sure, doors closed, now bulldozed by possibility. My reality reordered by divine order that transcends, ascends who and what I used to be. A mere vessel of personality. Too small to contain, too small to restrain. A content too infinite to define. Too magnificent to confine. Too perfect to refine. Too precious not to align with the truth of my being. Now seeing with fresh new eyes, the lies no longer capturing my attention. A new comprehension of a dimension of purity that opens my heart to our unity. If I am you and you are me, then where is the unity, the responsibility to dare to care for one another? No cover can camouflage our connection. The detection defies rejection. No objection can force my defection. No more dejection of what I know to be true. You are me, and I am you. A truth so simply true that it escapes our imagination, our affirmation, our determination to live like we know what we know. No more spiritual amnesia, a seizure that has us convulsing with the pulse of the world at a beat so steady that it makes us wonder if we are ready to step to the drummer inside. Step on with the rhythm that says that we are marching together, and whether fair or foul, through sunshine and storms, causation and forms, we acknowledge each other's existence, no longer pretending like I don't see you. 2 inches from me in the elevator. Standing next to me in the grocery line. No longer acting like what happens to you and your family bears no reality on my health and well-being. Now decreeing that our interconnectedness creates a nest in my heart that hatches a love that remains no matter the strains on our relationship. I don't have to like you to love you. And I am the people that I don't like. And with enough foresight, I'll grow to love the you that's me. And even if it's hindsight, it still guides my vision, informs my decision to stay open and concerned when I've been burned or returned to someplace I couldn't forgive before. Yet the doors, once closed, are bulldozed into possibility, reordering my reality with an order so divine that all I can do is shine. Remind myself of our unity, born out of our divinity, which only needs an opportunity to just be.
what? Be everything, especially one with you. If I am you,
okay,
and you are me, then where is the unity? The sense of urgency that says that our fate, intertwined by divine design, can't wait until I am ready to do what I ought. My heart caught in a thicket of indifference. Can't wait to feel what I should or release what I could have done. Our oneness through condemnation and separation. Our liberation is in the revelation that I am you and you are me, and that together we are one people. I won't forget that you are not a threat to my being who I am meant to be. You cannot hinder my authenticity. The dignity, respect, resting on my tongue, ready to bless you, caress you in compassion and understanding. Respect, nestling in my psychic face, ready to embrace our dance of differences, amalgamations of cultures and traditions, an exhibition of beauty in diversity, a prohibition of envy and adversity, a unity beyond conformity to the status quo that has to go, for it fails to know that true power is in our unity. No longer judging by appearances, our experiences, expectations or demarcations, duality and abnormality, longer consumed as we resume our identity as sisters and brothers of the earth, birthed with the same breath of life, the nefesh still fresh within us. If Jesus can forgive on his cross, then surely I can toss aside my pride, no longer hide the light under a bushel to keep you from my radiance. This mania, playing judge and jury, causing so much fury, digging ourselves in a hole, taking a toll, putting an immoral mortgage on our souls, the debt of which we can no longer pass on to our children to pay. So, stay away. On the same tree of life,
you,
my life, your life, mirrors of the one, like the sun that must be in its own ray. Let our days be numbered, not by moments or years, not in laughter or tears, triumphs or fears.
Life Conversations Radio. Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.